All right, this is mildly terrifying. Not unlike a moment in the story you're about to hear. So in 1990, I was a senior at NYU. I was an English major with a specialization in writing poetry, so you can imagine my job prospects were few. But during that semester, I also was tutoring New York City public high school students at a program at NYU, and I had this moment of insight that I think a lot of English majors have, which is that I was going to go into teaching, that I was going to be a public school teacher in particular. To me, it was like the perfect mix. On the one hand, I'd be home at 3:30 in the afternoon so I could continue writing with all of the extra energy I would have. And I did actually believe this at the time. And I would have summers off. Little did I know about the psychic damage that occurs during a school year. So I shared this plan with my girlfriend, who was a native New Yorker, and her family members, who looked at me askance. And 2-1, they said, just hope they don't assign you to the South Bronx. So I kind of like had this, you know, there were the benefits that, as I saw, for my writing career, but also I was genuinely interested in making a difference. I was reading about people who had gone into public schools and brought the love of reading and writing to students in underserved communities and crowded classrooms that didn't have good reading materials and teachers that were burned out. And I said, I got this. So at the time, luckily, New York City was having a teacher shortage and had come up with a license called a long-term sub-license. So the idea behind the long-term sub-license was that for schools that really couldn't fill vacancies, they would sort of have a licensing program where you could teach just by proving that you had enough credits in the subject area you'd be teaching in. And you didn't need to have any teaching experience, no teaching credits at all, and it was better than that school having to go to the sub pool every day. Anyway, I thought this was great. I put in my application, and then I went backpacking for the summer, sure that I was on the right track and had made a great decision. Came back and went to sort of a cattle call at the New York City Board of Ed and was given a folder that said Jane Addams Vocational High School, the Bronx. So still, I was very optimistic and excited. You know, I thought I'd seen Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer. And I felt prepared. I felt like my heart was in the right place. So fast forward to 3 days before the school year is to begin, I have an appointment with the department chair of the English department at Jane Addams Vocational High School. The vocations, by the way, were cosmetology, nursing, and business. I get on the subway. I've only been to the Bronx once to go to the Bronx Zoo in the 4 years that I've been in New York. The train comes out of the tunnel and becomes an elevated track in the South Bronx. And I look out the window, and I see rubble. I see entire blocks of rubble or an abandoned building, more rubble, another abandoned building. And I start to have my first real moment of understanding that I'd gotten myself into something that I didn't completely understand. It turned out that the Bronx in the 70s and 80s had burned. That's a story for another time, but essentially landlords, as their property values dropped when the Cross Bronx Expressway was built, started to hire arson squads and would burn their own buildings. And what I was seeing in 1990 was the result of that. And I thought to myself, I was getting off at 160th in Prospect, and I realized I would have to get out of the train with my little imitation leather briefcase that had a folded New York Times and a blank notebook and a pen in it. And I'd have to go down the stairs and walk to the school. No GPS, no phone. Anyway, I found my way there. I will tell you, later that year, on the way to school, there was a car burning fully one of those lots. But anyway, I found my way there, found the English department chair, and had what turned out was an interview. I wasn't assigned there, so I had to answer some questions, like, what's your teaching philosophy? How do you plan a class? What's your experience? So I felt pretty good about the answers that I sort of swerved and dodged. You know, I did some tutoring. I'm really into this. I love reading. I love writing. There was a long pause at the end of the interview, and the guy looked at me and said, well, you're certainly going to bring some youthful energy. He hired me. Later, it came to me that probably he was hiring me because I was indeed one step just barely above calling the sub pool every day. So I went home, and with some trepidation was beginning to consider what was going to happen. But over the next 2 days, went back and forth, got my little attendance book with a space for putting in the attendance card, saw my classrooms, went to the book room, got some advice from other teachers. And then the day came, and I took the train, got off at 160th and Prospect, and walked into the school fully populated with actual students, not imaginary students. And it was shock. They were big. They were confident, and they knew the school better than I did. They felt at home. They knew the other teachers better than I did. So I went to my first class, and that is the image that really was burned into my psyche from that first year, was standing up like this, talking into the void, and just having 27 students in their little bolted down desks from 1941 staring up at me. I'd been told by the other teachers the first day, it's a breeze, you just go over the classroom rules and the expectations and what you're going to be teaching. Which, by the way, I didn't have a very clear idea of. So I wrote my name on the board, which was weird, and I started talking, and my voice just went out, this thin sort of nervous voice, and they all looked at me like, we are going to eat you alive. Who are you? I made it through that first 5 minutes, made it through the curriculum, and still had 37 minutes to go. The longest 37 minutes of my life. And I had to do that 3 more times that day. The next day, I actually brought in a story. That failed miserably. I read it to them. Not a single student answered a single question. Again, the minutes ticked by interminably. I somehow made it through that first week. And at that point, I really knew that I was in trouble. I had put myself in a situation. The English department chair and the Board of Ed had put me in a situation that I had no business being in. The only good thing that saved me that year was they assigned a mentor to all of the long-term subs. And my mentor was a woman named Gail Kleiner, who's still to this day one of the best teachers I've ever met. She couldn't save me, don't get me wrong. I didn't really teach a good lesson that year, but she would meet with me every year. We were supposed to write on the board an objective and a motivation. For example, to learn what a literary character is. And the motivation was really hard and puzzling, considering the situation, because you identify with the literary character. Anyway, I never really got the hang of that. She tried to turn my ideas into something that could be used. Fast forward to the end of the year, I somehow made it. I tried to be useful. I did a little literary magazine. I did a lesson or two that worked, sort of, with her help. And at the end of the year, I said, Gail, how long did it take before you were planning lessons that really worked on a consistent basis? And she said, 3 to 5 years. But she recommended that I go do a program at the New York City Board, not at the New York City Board of Ed, at Lehman College in the Bronx, the New York City Writing Project. And I spent a month in a desk with other teachers reflecting on what we could do and doing assignments, and that saved me, and that led to a bunch more years teaching and eventually doing some teacher training. But what I remember from that first year, what I take from it, and it was a very, very long and difficult year, probably two things stuck with me. One is that 22-year-old me, for the first time, really saw how institutions and communities do and do not offer opportunities to the communities that they're in. And that despite that, communities thrive around them. And the second lesson I took was that sometimes you just show up, even in the midst of humbling humiliation. And I learned this from my students, and I probably learned more from them than they ever learned from me. Sometimes you just show up and listen and watch and be patient and just stick it out to really see what's happening. Thank you.